Are we rolling?
We are rolling.
All right. So, everyone, welcome. Finally, No Traps, No Glory has come out and about. I don't know if the camera angle can show, but I'm sitting here in my traditional coaching chair, my traditional sitting position. I usually always cross my leg like this and sit and watch and yell at people and praise, but usually berate them. But,
yes, usually.
Well,
when I'm around, for sure.
He's just saying that. Don't listen to the voice behind the curtain. But this is the long-awaited introduction to No Traps, No Glory, the New York Weightlifting Academy's official podcast. But it's going to be, I'd say, a little bit more than just a podcast. Obviously, you guys are watching a video. There's a video right now for it. So we're going to incorporate a lot of different things. We're going to have a dialogue. We're going to have discussions, but also, too, let's say, some lifting critiques and guests, everything else. But we're going to do a little bit untraditional of a podcast format. Obviously, podcasts are strictly audio. We're going to have a video component to this that are going to allow you guys to be able to see a little bit more of the inner workings of the gym, maybe see some inappropriate body language, anything else that we could possibly get across on video that verbally we're going to be missing. So that's where we're starting here. Now, this is obviously no Joe Rogan setup, but we're going to start off light and then go from there. We'll be able to slowly claw our way up, hopefully in popularity on the iTunes rankings, and then be able to get a little bit higher end equipment and such. But with a shoestring budget, we're going to knock it out of the park. You watch. So, Mr. Smith, my venerable producer.
Hello.
That's the voice behind the curtain. He's the brains behind this operation, because apparently he was right in the sense of, I guess people care what I might have to say, or at least they're mildly interested in what may spew out of my mouth.
I don't remember saying that, but
oh well, maybe I'm praising myself. But we'll get back to how great I am later on.
Yeah, and often, I'm sure.
Oh well, I mean, we can't keep it too few and far between. So, see, and that's how you completely go off topic and lose train of thought right there. But now, going back to we put up this week, we did a real brief Instagram story, kind of introducing that we're going to be doing this today. It was Sunday, September 10th. We'll go with 10th.
Sure.
Is it 10th? Well, September 11th is coming up, so that's kind of important to remember.
Yeah, so I think it's the 9th, because Tuesday's the 11th.
Tuesday's, okay. So, wow. Didn't it originally happen on a Tuesday? Is that the day it was?
It was a Tuesday.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing, and that entire day.
As do I.
So, but not to digress. So, with the podcast and with the Instagram story that we put up, it seemed to be very favorable amongst at least a select few of you psychos who enjoy what I might have to offer, what I might have to say. So I'm going to try to do the best I can to put out some good content in terms of weightlifting, as well as philosophy. And this is something that Dan and I were discussing, and it kind of goes hand in hand, a philosophy that him and I have concurrently ascribed to. And we believe that that caters to and goes directly hand in hand with the application of weightlifting. And as everyone knows, weightlifting is not an easy sport. It's something that's very difficult no matter what your level, and to be able to make progress, make improvements on where you are, and ultimately have success, there needs to be not only the physical component, but there's a mindset behind it. And we feel that the two aspects of a philosophical tenet and the training and weightlifting tenet, they'll go hand in hand. That's ultimately what we're going to try to elaborate on. Dan is very good and very adept and I guess well-read, one could say, in the philosophy of, the philosophy of objectivism. So I know it's something that doesn't really is not ascribed to by many, if not all, I don't know, anyone outside the Ayn Rand contingent, but outside of whatever your political viewpoint is, to weightlifting, we feel that it is very tightly knit and could be very applicable to it. And we're going to elaborate on that, and hopefully that'll help you guys give a different perspective of how you view weightlifting, how you view mindset and approach. Because obviously on Instagram you have all the motivational posts that people put up, and you're a lion and you can do this and you're great and you can achieve that, but I think it only goes so far. You can only believe in yourself so much, you can only do so much of the greatness pep talk without having a deep-rooted understanding of how that applies to you, because ultimately it applies to you not only to weightlifting, but your entire life. Weightlifting, to a certain extent, is even just a metaphor for life in and of itself. So intertwining these two aspects, I think, is going to help everyone, at least as it has for us, be able to have a very good and more in-depth understanding of how to apply weightlifting to their life and how to get better at weightlifting. So That's one element. We'll get into that over time. We won't bore you, won't get into too many details. You won't have many reading assignments except what we tell you to do. So you'll expect reading assignments. So here's my handy notepad. Here's something about me. This notepad here, this is my to-do list. So what I enjoy is writing things down in the morning, what I have to do during the day. You can see that? Close up? We got a close up there.
That's not how it works.
You're the producer, figure it out. So I enjoy writing down things I need to do and crossing them off. I find that keeps me very organized. So as for this podcast, here's another close up.
Awesome.
Right, you can see it, right? We're gonna cross things off the list that I get done. So we went over the intro, went over what are we about, went over what to expect, and weightlifting and philosophy. So this brings me to another avenue. Viviana from Everyday Lifters, she does a lot of help, and I really appreciate everything that she does for our social media because I feel that I'm very bad at social media. I just don't pay attention to putting things up that need to be promoted. Pictures are, half blurry with captions that are boring and dry, whereas she obviously knows how to take a picture. And at least she could put up captions that are a little bit more personable, stimulating, and I think that goes well. So I'd again like to thank her for all the help, but also too, she's raised in her travels and her doings, has told me that a lot of times people ask about the gym. What's the gym about? What's it like? And it seems, and she even said, like to some people, it just comes across as a mystery. For those who haven't been here or haven't trained here, they really don't know the inner workings of the gym and how it works. So we'll just put it right out there. Outside of penis jokes, there's a lot that go on. So we'll keep it PG for now. We'll have a dark cut for all the subscribed viewers that we end up getting at $5.99 a week. So
We gotta talk about that.
All right, finances to be discussed, but we'll do that off air. But what we'd like to get across is what the gym's about and what we're like. We want to bring the inside of the gym and the occurrences, the people, the personalities, myself, Mr. Smith, our training philosophy, how we train, and methodology to everybody else. So you can try to get a better understanding of how we approach things, the way we do things. Because coming from, I mean, let's say from my background, I've been raised under Mark Chasnoff my entire tenure. So as a lifter, I mean, and again, too, a mediocre lifter at best, and it's taken me a long time to get to the point where I am now, to where I could even claim myself to be marginally decent of a lifter or as successful as a lifter. But it's come through the hard work and dedication, not only on my part, but on his part, to be able to get me to this point. And a lot of that and the overarching philosophy, if you will, and approach to weightlifting comes from him. So it's also to give him enough credit, but to be able to understand that the gym is not solely just, I don't want to put anybody down by saying this, but there are a lot of gyms who don't have the lineage that we do. Unfortunately, I've been lucky enough and privileged enough to where I've been training under Mark my entire career. So what that means is I've trained under someone who's raised national champion, raised someone to the Olympics, was a decent weightlifter and a high-ranking weightlifter when he was lifting, also a physical therapist. Then his father was a very good weightlifter. So Mark has been associated with the sport for about 40, 50 years. And in that time, he's met some incredible people. He spent time with Tommy Kono. He's learned how to, he said he basically learned how to jerk from Dave Shepard. So these are some older American lifters who were greats of the time, who beat up the Soviets pretty hard. And that's a long lineage that we have. Mark was also one of the first people to do, I mean, now it's pretty common. There are apps for it, but Mark was before any of the programs that track bar path and all that stuff. Mark did a photo analysis for biomechanics and weightlifting. He was one of the first in the country to do so. So with that, let's say there have been many times where training with Mark, maybe you get frustrated. Now I'm not doing things I need to do the right way, but never questioned, never doubted him because how could I possibly doubt someone with that much lineage and experience behind him? And with that, I take everything that I learn, all the help that he still gets me as a mentor for it, and put that towards the gym. And as I'd like to think, at least I've raised some decent weightlifters, have raised lifters to the American Open, Nationals, Junior Nationals, and it goes a long way. And I've even had at local competitions people coming up to me and complimenting our lifters on how they look, that they move very well. And as I often tell people, and this goes into the workings of the gym and the philosophy of it, is that People will be more impressed by you doing things well than by how much weight you're lifting. If you look like you know what you're doing, you look smooth, you look efficient, you have great technique, that always captures someone's eye, because weightlifting, when done correctly, is a beautiful sport. So we're going to get further into that in many ways. We have a, let's say, a little promo here. Klokov is coming in 2 weeks. Dmitry Klokov, the legendary, venerable Olympic medalist, world champion 2005, is going to be gracing our doorstep yet one more time. So the Russian giant will be spreading more of his knowledge as well, and that's just going to help us just learn more. But let me tell you something, all of you out there, if you're interested, contact us, or I could give you another link. Maybe we can somehow do one of the fancy things on the bottom that flash an email or a website. Can we do that? Are we do have the power? I think we can. There's a way that we got to look in
There
the
is a way. We'll have to
look in the manual.
turn on the magic.
We'll look in the manual and figure that out. We could promote that. So Klokov will be here. Now, also too. Yes, Mr. Smith?
No, please
Oh,
continue.
hold on, let me take a sip of my delicious beverage.
Thank God for editing. What's in your beverage today?
Well,
It's your hot water typically?
yes, actually, you are correct.
Wow.
You see, everyone in the gym knows that I enjoy a delicious, hearty cup of hot water. Most often, all season. And yeah, everyone wonders why it's not tea. So now everyone out there knows hot water is one of my favorite beverages. Second to, no, actually, it's my favorite beverage, then tea, and then the third one we all know. So, what also we plan to do is have some good guest appearances. There's actually one of my co-hosts, Mr. Smith, actually joins us on film for a question and answer session that we have done already, which we look forward to bringing you guys part of this episode. You get to see his cunning good looks and witty, hear some witty banter at the same time.
Never heard my good looks called cunning, but that's good. We'll go with that.
Yeah, so we're gonna bring some question and answers that we have, and what I would like, let's say too, we'll post obviously on Instagram. Leave in comments anything you'd like to hear. Tell us what you'd like. Any questions you have, we'll put some. I was even thinking we'll have some Mr. Smith tell me what you like of this idea. We'll do some Instagram live stories of us doing the podcast. We have people question or throw questions out there, see what we're doing.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Yeah, we want to know because ultimately we're here to try to provide as much information as we can. I challenge you to even stump us. Give me questions that I can't answer because that just forces me to think harder, or just pretend that you never submitted the question and we'll know that it never happened. But it's still, a challenge is a challenge, and all weightlifters like challenges, don't they?
Most of the time.
Well, most of the time. So, well, also, that's another point that brings me to a side of challenge, because it has been a challenge. We've been a little delayed in our process here because we've been trying to get some guest appearances by a few guests, believe it or not. So we have a few people lined up. Just have to kind of really force the issue, make the time. We'll probably just even travel to them, and we can get some good sound questions going about. Actually, one of them, my good friend Ernie Prempa, he's a weightlifting coach. He's down in New Jersey. Him and I, we've had some great talks. We've gone over just weightlifting, where he's come from, where I've come from, and also to our philosophies, our approach to things, and I think that's something that will be very valuable to everybody, because it's one thing that it's to hear from one coach, but to get another perspective, to see the different variations in the philosophies and approaches that coaches have, but also to where they link up and where they join. And when we have two people from different backgrounds, different upbringings, but being able to have a good dialogue, I think that's awesome. I can't wait to go over and do some things like that. And then hopefully, I mean, if Klokov would want to, that'd be cool to sit down with him and say, Dimitri.
Yeah, 5 minutes even. That'd
Five
be
minutes.
awesome.
Actually, you know, it would be just be this 5 minutes, just like. I'll be mesmerized. He's a regular dude. Last time I wrestled with him after he spilled coffee, I cleaned up his coffee, and he left a chicken Caesar salad here. I ate a salad.
Those are exciting stories, Danny. Thank you.
See, and that's why we're doing this podcast, because I have just so many exciting things to just be able to tell people. I mean, I ate Klokov's salad. That's awesome. Okay. And then lastly,
let's hope that's not taken out of context.
I'm so proud of you. Atta boy, Mr. Smith. You're learning. See, that's the effect we have on people. So, lastly, I'd like to also elaborate more about me, because I know I don't say much about me, don't have too many things that I really put out there about myself. So, I'd like to get that across more so you can people can understand me as a coach. So, what I'm going to get start off with that is, we'll get a little personal about myself here. Let's go back, I'd say probably starting with some of my upbringings. And let's say, we'll go to my father, for example. My father, also grandfather, too, for this matter. So both of them, I would say, have been long masters in their trade. My father is a machinist and auto mechanic. My grandfather, he did commercial flooring. I mean, really all flooring, but did a lot of commercial flooring, and I worked with him for a number of years. But he was doing that. He basically was working doing flooring from the time he was 12 years old up until when he probably, to just about the end where he could actually move comfortably, I'd say probably mid to late 70s, and then continued to just do estimates and jobs well up until, I think he got all throughout his 80s. So the man was a workhorse, just did everything. But in the time working with him, he had a much older mindset, older mentality, and the same goes for my father and how they do things, of doing everything well and basing what you're going to do on not how quickly you get it done, not essentially just getting it done for the sake of it, but doing things well and doing things with pride. And from them, learned a lot of, in terms of one, that the capability of what you can do and how really, if you have the effort, you have the desire, you can accomplish a lot of things. I mean, ultimately, that's how the gym came about. I mean, and for the most part, for anyone who really knows me or has been here since the beginning, the gym, it basically went from zero to one in the gym. And what I mean by that is, it just started off as an idea. It was just something that I'd say I wanted to do or get into, just even training people. I was working as a teacher at the time and didn't enjoy that aspect of it. But it took literally just a concept, took nothing, and made it into something that's tangible. So I think I got part of that from them in terms of what I learned from them, and then maybe just even intrinsic motivation that I had on myself to do that. So ultimately, that's where we are today, and I've had to spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energies to be able to get to that point. And with that, I mean, obviously been training the entire time too, it takes a lot of effort. And that's something I try to get across to everybody, especially now being more advanced as a lifter, having lifted when did I start? I don't remember when I started, but anyway, let's just say being a lifter for anywhere from 7, 8, 9 years now, you learn a lot, you become experienced in terms of what you have to do. In the business sense, obviously learning more, trying to become more experienced with that and have mentors to be able to help and guide you with it. But seeing for myself, different points of my life where I was as a lifter and the lifters I have now, but also doing things well and trying to get people to understand how to take steps back from where they are or what they need to do and focus on doing things correctly to make the progress they need. Because like I said earlier, when you go to a competition and it doesn't matter what you lift. I mean, obviously you want to lift more weights and that's the objective. But if you look good what you're doing and not look good, not, I don't mean just by like having nice socks or fancy attire or anything like that, because anyone who's seen me train knows that I have sweatpants that are probably like 5 years old. I use goat tape to keep the holes together because goat tape works the best, like any other athletic tape. Pardon me. It doesn't keep the holes together as well. So for anyone who has holes in their pants, but the rest of the pant is good and you don't want to buy new ones because there's no need to, just use goat tape. You just put it in, put it on an angle because then the bar won't pull the tape up. And then like one or two washes, it's smoothed out. It lasts a long time. So, and actually, coincidentally, here's another little fun fact. Goat tape is actually located right around the corner from the gym. We share the same landlord. Actually, they stopped by one time. So have you know that. But going back, yes.
No, go on.
I'm on a, come on, you can chime in, Mr. Smythe. You are the
well you've teacher. Digressed from your digression, so...
Well, it's tiered. See, I like to tier everything. Yeah. That way it makes for better learning, better understanding. Well, that's what I taught me in grad school. You got to tier all this stuff out. But I didn't lose full thought of where I was going. We're coming back full circle. So the idea is everything's got to be done well. In weightlifting, if you do it well, you'll have success. In coaching, if you do it well, you'll have success. And there's times where you're tired, there's times where you can't focus as much as you need to. Their time, or maybe distraction, normal life thing, like anybody else. But you can't let the end goal be removed from what you want to achieve. And with that, and like I was saying earlier, you don't want to be rushing to the end. You have to focus on the little bits, chip away at little steps, because ultimately you get to that point. And everyone becomes very impatient. I want this now. I want this now. I want to be able to lift this. I want to be able to do snatch 140 kilos. But you have to understand that it takes the time to learn, and everything takes the time to develop. But within that time to develop, you're doing things the right way. And by doing things the right way, that's when you'll ultimately get there. And Some people may have good talent. Some people may have something that limits them, but it doesn't mean that you can't stop. Doesn't mean that you can't do things the right way. And that's how I approach my coaching, or at least I like to think that I do. Maybe someone else will disagree. I don't know. But if you're not doing it right, it doesn't make sense to do it. Because ultimately, let's say if you're gonna go, let's say your car, you whatever car you have, you want to get the car repainted. But oh my God, I just want to get it done now. Do you want to just get it done, like take it down somewhere like a hack job, have them blast it up, and the car looks terrible afterwards? Or do you want to have someone take the time and do it right? And anything you do in life, especially if you're paying someone to do it, you want to have them take the time to do it well. So especially, again, coming from a coaching standpoint, you want me to do things well for you, and that's going to take time. And it's very difficult because you're directly interacted within, but everyone's got to learn that patience is a virtue to have to be able to be successful. And that's an approach, something that I learned long ago from my father, from my grandfather. And it, for me, it had developed a long, it took a long time to develop that because, and even now people say, like, oh, I don't know how you do it. You have so much patience with working with everybody. But I guess it's from growing up with them, doing certain projects that I've had, that's allowed me to unrealizingly develop a level of patience for me to be able to do this. And as a result, I'd like to think that I've accomplished some decent things with those who I've raised, those who have lifted technique, and a lot of my lifters that I'm very proud of. Proud of all of you.
Well, where I come from, it's called old school.
Interesting. And so that makes you think, what is the new school about? But that's funny because that brings me to what we can discuss in the future on the podcast is the new school of weightlifting. And one of my biggest points of contention in contemporary weightlifting is everything being based on the program, that you have to have your notepad with every day lined up on here, working at X percent, doing this percent, and blah blah blah, going this exercise, that exercise, also too with a list, a category of a bunch of random and sometimes inane exercises that don't have any carryover, that don't have any transition to ultimately the lift. And going into, where'd my pen go? I got my pen. Okay. And going into, again, about me, about my approach to training people, and again, how as I've been raised, it doesn't make sense to do something that's not going to have a direct effect or direct positive effect on someone's lifting and their ability to make progress. Like I was telling one kid that was here today, he was a newer lifter, came up from Bronx Barbell with Coach Adam, with the two guys. Well, Adam I've known a very long time. Adam's been since the carpet days next door. He's a great guy. Brought this younger lifter that he has up, and what I was telling him, because he was having trouble in terms of his mechanics were off. So I was trying to get across to him that after the work we did today, I advised him that if at any point in his program he was to do power snatches or power cleans, they would do a disservice to the technique that he learned because they're going to be different motions than what he was doing to be able to be successful and have good technique with doing a full snatch, doing a full clean. And that's something to where some people, like let's say for myself, for Mark, I can do power cleans and it won't have any detraction from me doing cleans. Let's say once it gets heavier, I just end up going into a full clean. There's no drawback to me doing so. Whereas there are those who they'll do power cleans, but it's completely different from them doing a regular clean. That means they shouldn't. There's no need for them to be doing a power clean per se because it's going to throw off their technical ability going to a regular clean. And that's going back to the programming aspect in terms of how I was raised again and how I program and coach for people is that. Obviously, I plan things out in terms of what people are going to do, but it's not going to strictly be written down. Everyone gets the same program. Everyone's individual and everyone has to be doing something particular for them or certain exercises, like I just said, being precluded from what they need to do because it's going to hinder their ability to make progress. And I'm a big fan of doing less to do more. A lot of people just beat themselves down doing rep, 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 but you don't need to. I was supposed to actually do a competition, the Jerry Dunn Red Light Open this past Saturday, but it turned out it got rained out. So I only trained 2 days a week this week. It was good training days that I had. And obviously I ended up not lifting. I didn't do anything. And then one of the lifter Kelsey from Canada, you guys all know her. She was like, oh my God, how are you able to not train? I'd go crazy if I had to take 3 days off or what'll actually be, let's see, I trained on Wednesday. So Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I've had 4 days off since my previous training session. And I'm fine with it. Body feels good. It's good to take the time to get a little bit better rest. And the rest is the most important aspect of training. Everyone thinks that they need to do more, beat themselves down. But you don't. The rest, if you're not getting the adequate rest, your body will never make the progress that you need. And ultimately, you will always get more out of undertraining than you will out of over, will from overtraining. And even like a book that I recommend all the time, Tommy Kono's Olympic, correct me on the title if I'm wrong, Olympic style weightlifting, or
I believe so.
yeah, Olympic style weight, the blue covered one. Get it from, if you get it, if anyone who hasn't got this book, if you're going to get it now based upon this recommendation of mine, go to Tommy Kono's website, tommykono.com. We can put the little thing on the bottom, right? Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Go get it from there because on Amazon it's 40 times the price. It should be like $40 for the book from Tommy Kono. So great book, highly recommend it. But in the book, Tommy Kono was saying how, and again, this just reinforces to where you don't need to do a lot. Go through your working sets, get to what you need to get done for the day, your objective, then move on and go from there. Whereas opposed to a common mentality of people just doing training 5, 6 days a week. Rep after rep after rep, set after set, and what does it do? All it does, at least as I find, people who train that much, let's say us, let's say myself, who train 3 days a week, you really get no further or make no greater advancements between the two, outside of the aspect that you're getting injured less frequently. And obviously, no one wants to be injured, no one wants to have issues, and you want to have a long, fruitful career. And the way to do so is to preserve your body. We're not a Most of us have, and most everyone has jobs. They're not professional weightlifters. They're not on drugs. They don't have. They're not going to massage and sauna every day of the week or every other day. So you have to do what you can do to have quality focus training, and then from there, make sure you get the recovery needed. So that's what we ascribe to, and that's how I approach it. Now there are a lot of others who will say you need to spend more time because you got to get the reps in. If you don't get enough reps, but it doesn't matter how many reps you get in if you're doing them wrong. And I know tons of people who follow programs, but every rep is different. They do triples, double, whatever they're doing. Everyone's different from the next. And what's it matter to do something if you're going to be that inconsistent with it? If you hone your focus and make every rep closer to the same, the same, the same, to everyone's same, 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 every time you do it, why do you have to do 30 snatches in total when you could do, let's say, 8 snatches, work up to the same weight or do even a little bit more, and then move on? And that's how I do it. Not to mention make big jumps. I'm a fan of big jumps. Snatches, 70, 100, 110, 15, on a good day, just go right from there like that at 120. So make big jumps and then move on from there. So with this, I'm gonna wrap everything up because I think this is a lot of information, a little bit of rambling, a little bit of figuring everything out as we try to get this situated. But I'm looking forward to doing a lot more in terms of providing content. Also too, let me try to get a little bit mobile since we have the video, get through the gym, me working with people, having conversations outside of the room where we are now. Also too, like I said, guests, and just elaborating on much, much more. So anyone who has questions, please feel free to comment, to send me an inbox, whatever you want to do, email New York Weightlifting Academy or NY Weightlifting at Gmail. Our Instagram handle, NY Weightlifting at, or no, at NY Weight, no, wait, hold on. At NY underscore weightlifting underscore academy. Okay, that's Instagram. Got it.
Yeah, you
And
really suck at the social media thing.
I told you. See, that's why Viv's in charge because I can't handle it myself. But that's that. Thanks everyone for watching. Hope that you enjoyed it. If you didn't like it, you're a loser.